Hiya, today's Bible reading is Luke chapter 14, verse 1, just to set the context, and then verses 12 to 24. One Sabbath, when Jesus went to eat in the house of a prominent Pharisee, he was being carefully watched. Then Jesus said to his host, "When you give a luncheon or dinner, do not invite your friends, your brothers or sisters, your relatives or your rich neighbours. If you do, they may invite you back, and so you will be repaid. But when you give a banquet, invite the poor, the crippled, the lame, the blind, and you will be blessed. Although they cannot repay you, you will be repaid at the resurrection of the righteous." When one of those at table heard this, he said to Jesus, "Blessed is the one who will eat at the feast in the kingdom of God." Jesus replied, "A certain man was preparing a great banquet and invited many guests. At the time of the banquet, he sent his servant to tell those who had been invited, 'Come, for everything is now ready.' But they all alike began to make excuses. The first said, 'I've just bought a field and I must go and see it. Please excuse me.' Another said, 'I have just bought 5 yoke of oxen and I'm on my way to try them out. Please excuse me.' Still another said, 'I've just got married, so I can't come.' The servant came back and reported this to his master. Then the owner of the house became angry and ordered the servant, 'Go out quickly into the streets and alleys of the town and bring in the poor, the crippled, the blind and the lame.' 'Sir,' the servant said, 'what you ordered has been done, but there is still room.' Then the master told his servant, 'Go out into the roads and country lanes and compel them to come in so that my house will be full. I tell you, not one of those who are invited will get a taste of my banquet.'" I wonder, what is your picture of God? When you think of God, what kind of ideas and images come into your mind? A lot of people have a picture of God that is a bit like a very fearsome kind of headmaster figure whose main pleasure in life is to tell us off and strike fear into our hearts. Or some people's picture of God is a lot more vague and impersonal, something like the Force in Star Wars. A lot of us think of God as being like a father, and of course this is one of the pictures of God given to us in the Bible. We pray, and we're taught to pray by Jesus, "Our Father." But of course, if you've had perhaps a distant or abusive father, that can be very difficult in itself. Of course, God is completely beyond our imaginations, and our puny little human minds can never fully conceive of what he is like. But the Bible does give us lots of pictures to help us, and none of them sufficient in itself, but they can all help us understand a little bit more about the character, about the majesty and the awesomeness, and about the gentleness and the intimacy of this God that we serve, who created the cosmos. Psalm 23, one of the most famous psalms in the Bible, has two of these pictures. The first picture is very familiar to us. The Lord is my shepherd. He leads me beside quiet waters. He refreshes and restores me. He takes care of me. He protects me. But in that psalm, there's also another picture presented of God. And that is God as the host at a feast, a welcoming host. He prepares a table for me. He anoints my head with oil. That's a sign of welcome and hospitality to an honoured guest. My cup overflows. We know that this isn't some skimpy meal. This is a lavish feast, no expense spared. Normally at the end of a party, I don't know about you, but there comes a point where I've had enough and I want to go home. But not at this one. Not at this one. At God's party, the guests don't want to leave. They want to stay permanently. I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. So the Bible gives us this picture of God as a lavish and generous party giver. He's the host at the biggest and best banquet that there ever was and ever will be. And this is described both as a present reality and as a future hope. The Jews of Jesus' day were waiting for the Messiah to come so that they could share in the feast in the kingdom of heaven, the messianic banquet. If you read Isaiah chapter 25, verse 6, this feast is promised. It says this: "On this mountain, the Lord Almighty will prepare a rich feast, a feast of rich food for all peoples, a banquet of aged wine, the best of meats, and the finest of wines." So when Jesus tells this story that we've read about the great banquet, it would have rung all kinds of bells for the people who were there listening to Jesus. You can picture the scene. Jesus himself is at a dinner party. He's sharing the Sabbath meal in the house of a prominent Pharisee, as it says in verse 1. And we know too from verse 3 that many of the people there were Pharisees and experts in the law, people who would have known their stuff. They would have read their Bibles time and time again. So when Jesus says a certain man was preparing a great banquet, straight away they're going to think God's feast, the banquet of the Messiah, the coming of the kingdom of God, God's feast, God's party. So on one level, we can see how this story is aimed at them and how it has real bite. Jesus was not afraid to upset polite company, and he certainly did that with this story. Now, in Middle Eastern culture in Jesus' time, if you were having a banquet, you would do two rounds of invitations. So first of all, you'd send out the first invitations, so you'd know kind of roughly how many people to expect. So you'd know how many ox to roast, how many animals to kill, how much food to get ready. And then you'd do all the preparation. You'd roast all your meat and you'd get everything ready so it was right ready. And then when it was cooked, when it was all on the table, you would send out your second invitation. And that's the invitation that we're getting here in Jesus' parable in verse 17. It says this: "At the time of the banquet, he sent his servant to tell those who had been invited, 'Come, for everything is now ready.'" So that means you can see what a big issue it is when people start to make these excuses. It's as if it was like your wedding reception and you'd paid thousands of pounds for this massive meal, and or maybe it's your son or your daughter's wedding reception. And then on the day, people start phoning you and saying, "Oh, I'm afraid I can't actually make it." And the sort of excuses they're giving are things like, "Oh, I've bought a new smartphone and I just sort of want to try it out." It's that kind of thing. It's insulting, massively insulting. Jesus is saying to the scribes and the Pharisees, "Look, the Messiah is here. I've come. The party has started. The kingdom of heaven has come near. And God's inviting you to the party, but you're not interested. You don't care." So what does he do? Well, he invites a whole lot of other guests instead. First of all, he goes, sends his servant out to invite the poor, the crippled, the blind and the lame. Now, at the time in that culture, many disabled people were excluded from worshipping in the temple in Jerusalem because it was thought that their defects made them not pure or holy enough. So this is so significant that Jesus is announcing here that they are included. The people that thought they were excluded from the party are brought into the feast. And then it's still not full, so the servant is sent out to get even more people in, people from the highways and the byways. And maybe this can be seen to refer to the Gentiles, all the nations of the world, who, as we know, will soon be invited in to share in God's feast. Well, you can see how this would have upset the dinner guests, wouldn't you? I don't think this guy's going to be inviting Jesus back to any of his parties anytime soon. But you know, this story, it goes beyond Jews and Gentiles. On the one hand, it gives us a promise of God's amazing welcome. And on the other hand, if we're not careful, it can also come back to bite us too. The first thing to say is this: we're all invited. We're all invited to God's feast, no matter who we are, whatever our background, whatever we might have done wrong, however imperfect or unholy we might think we are, we're all invited. Our God is a generous God. He wants to lavish his love on us. He wants to show us his boundless generosity. He promises us his love, his presence, his grace, his forgiveness, everlasting life in his kingdom. The invitation is there. The feast is ready. Are we going to take up the invitation? Or are we too busy watching Netflix and YouTube? Are we too busy filling our mind with pathetic substitutes for God? Are we too busy to come to God's party? But there's also a sting in the tail of this parable, which takes it out of the realm of metaphor and places it firmly and squarely back in the real world. And for that, we need to go back a tiny bit to the verses immediately before it. Listen to this. This is verses 12 to 14. Then Jesus said to his host, and again, I'm sure this wouldn't have gone down too well, when you give a luncheon or dinner, do not invite your friends, your brothers or sisters, your relatives or your rich neighbours. If you do, they may invite you back, and so you will be repaid. But when you give a banquet, invite the poor, the crippled, the lame, the blind, and you will be blessed. Although they cannot repay you, you will be repaid at the resurrection of the righteous. Jesus was described, as a bit of an insult really, as a friend of sinners, because he frequently hung around with prostitutes, tax collectors, the poor, the marginalised, people who were seen as a bit dodgy, unholy, on the edges. A friend of sinners. To be someone's friend, you have to hang out with them, you have to share meals with them, spend time with them, get to know them. These were the people who responded to the good news that Jesus brought, because they knew that they were messed up. They knew that they needed him. What about us? First of all, do we know that we need him? Do we know our sinfulness, our brokenness, our need to be rescued, our need of Jesus and his cross? Or do we think, oh, I'm actually a good person, I'm all right really. And maybe Jesus is just a bit of an added extra on our lives, something we do on a Sunday, a good teacher. Second of all, who would you invite to your party? We tend to want to spend time with nice people, clean people, respectable people, people who are easy to be with, people who are like us. And Jesus seems to be asking us to take this literally and to spend time with people that we don't really want to spend time with. I found this quotation from the American pastor Tim Keller, whom you may have heard of, and I found this profoundly challenging. Listen to this. Jesus' teaching consistently attracted the irreligious while offending the Bible-believing religious people of his day. However, in the main, our churches today do not have this effect. The kind of outsiders Jesus attracted are not attracted to contemporary churches, even our most avant-garde ones. We tend to draw conservative, buttoned-down, moralistic people. The licentious and liberated, or the broken and marginal, avoid church. That can only mean one thing. If the preaching of our ministers and the practice of our parishioners do not have the same effect on people that Jesus did, then we must not be declaring the same message that Jesus did. So as we come back face to face to our gatherings in our churches, we're challenged by this, aren't we? We're challenged to be a people of welcome. We're challenged to be like our God who is a welcoming God, our God who is a generous God, who pours his love and grace on us, who prepares a lavish table for us. I might look on the outside like a nice, respectable person, but you know what? I'm a sinner. But I am here, and I am here loving Jesus because I have been rescued by God through the work of Jesus on the cross. I've been forgiven, I've been washed clean by his grace. And so the good news we have to share is not that you have to make yourself right and learn to behave so that you can come and be part of our nice little club called church. The good news is that Jesus Christ has died to save sinners. So we need to be going out into the highways and the byways and telling the licentious and the liberated and the broken and marginalised and the people we wouldn't want to invite to our parties that God loves them, that God created them in his image, that they are precious in his sight, that he sent his son for them, that he died for them, that he welcomes them into his great banquet, into his wonderful party, to the great and generous feast in the kingdom of God. Amen. Let's pray. Oh, party-giving God, we thank you that you have invited us into your great feast in the kingdom of heaven. Lord, today, would you help us to know that you have lavished your love on us and help us to taste and see that you are good. And Lord, would you help us to be transformed into a people of welcome as you are a God of welcome. Help us to open up our lives and our homes and our church to be places of welcome to all who need to hear the good news that your kingdom is at hand. In Jesus' name, amen.